When Anya stripped down to her bikini, she claimed the instant attention of every male in the dig crew. She felt a little self-conscious as she walked toward the water. She had a good body, she knew that. Hours of work on the weight machines and Stairmaster, hours spent in the boxing gym she frequented, and an active lifestyle guaranteed that. And the bikini showed off her figure. She'd worn it under her clothes so she could go for a quiet, private swim in the ocean at the end of a long, hot day in the pit. The snorkel and swim fins she carried were borrowed from one of the students whose belongings had turned up in a tree. At the water's edge, she sat on a rock, pulled the swim fins on, and settled the mask over her face. She tried to ignore the continued staring as she made her way out into the water. She swam out 20 yards or so. From the way the seabed gradually sloped out, she guessed she was in 15 to 20 feet of water. The ocean was clearer than she'd expected. With the disturbance caused by the tsunami, she'd anticipated a lot of debris in the water. There was a lingering fog, however, that limited her visibility. She resisted the impulse to clean her face mask. As always, the beauty of the sea overcame her. The brilliant colors of the fish in the tropical saltwater environment caught her eye again and again. Schools swam and darted in unison. Several coral growths stood proudly on the sea bottom. An eel whipsawed through less than a dozen feet away. She wasn't there on a sightseeing tour, though. She swam down to within reaching distance of the seabed. Anya clawed at the sand, the gold coin embedded in it glinting in the dim light still visible above. She dug it out of the loose sand, then spotted three more. She could barely pay any attention to the tightness that strained her lungs. She was so excited. When she flipped over to begin her ascent, she noticed the hull of a speedboat cutting through the water toward the shallows. Anya treaded water on the other side of the speedboat. She scanned the craft and noticed the name and registration were missing or covered over. Things didn't look good.
Somebody get me your boss now or I start shooting!
The four men in the speedboat concentrated on the dig members in the shallows near the cliff. All of the men had their backs to Anya as she treaded water and weighed her options. She had no doubt that violence was coming. She'd been around enough of it to recognize the signs. Since she'd found the missing piece of Joan of Arc's sword and claimed it as her own, or been claimed by it, she'd been thrown into a number of dangerous situations. She realized she was growing accustomed to it.
I'm Professor Rai.
You're the boss?
I am.
There's no man?
No.
Why would they put a woman in charge?
Reluctantly, Anya released the gold coins she'd found and let them drop back to the seafloor. She marked the spot in her memory as best she could and hoped that she would be able to find them again later. She dropped the snorkel, too, and swam toward the speedboat.
I don't know.
We're here to take your valuables.
Valuables? These are college students. They don't have money. I don't have any money. Nothing more than a few rupees.
Then we'll take their computers and game systems. Never seen college students without computers and game systems. Especially American students. And we know you have American students over there. We've heard about you.
Then you probably heard that we were hit by the tsunami last night. We lost everything.
Don't lie to me!
I'm not lying! We're waiting for help to arrive. The helicopter should be here at any time.
If you're waiting for help, you're going to be waiting a while. A lot of villages were hit. They're not going to care about you. You've got a lot of pretty girls. You, come over here!
The man pointed at one of the British students. The young woman stepped back. Two of the young men, one of them Jason Kim, stepped in front of her to protect her.
I told you to get over here! If you don't, I'm going to shoot you through the head and move on to the next girl that catches my eye.
Anya reached the speedboat's starboard side. The craft sat low in the water now that it wasn't moving. She caught hold of the boat's prow just in front of the windscreen. She thought about drawing the sword. It was there, just within her reach. It would be awfully hard to explain, she thought. She decided not to pull the sword into battle unless she had to. If she did need it, getting the weapon would only take a moment. She pulled herself up and out of the water, then into a squat as the boat tilted toward her. Fear thrilled through her as she moved to stand. She was afraid of getting hurt, but mostly she was afraid of getting one of the students or Professor Rye hurt.
What the...
From the corner of her eye, Anya saw the man with the rifle turn toward her. Surprise turned his face slack, but he kept moving. Anya lashed out with a foot and caught the rifle as the man attempted to swing it around. The rounds went wide of their intended mark. The rifle flew out of the man's hands. Anya relaxed her arms and went down in a forward roll. Then she was on her feet again. The gunman was reaching for a pistol tucked in the front of his shorts. Anya spun into a sidekick that caught the man in the face. The kick landed solid, sending the man over the side of the boat as if he'd been fired out of a cannon. Before he hit the water, Anya was already in motion. The other three men swung their weapons in her direction. She jumped up, catching the closest man to the stern on the shoulders. She grabbed hold of the man's shirt and turned her body into a fulcrum as she swung down. When she landed in a crouch behind the man, Anya hooked her hands under the man's arms, pulled him back toward her, and threw him over her head. Anya went on the offensive at once. A quick step to the right put her out of the lead man's sights and profiled him squarely in front of his partner. Anya took up a boxing stance, but didn't want to risk further damaging her hands. Instead, she threw Brav Maga elbow punches and knee kicks that collided with the man's face, inner thighs, and groin. He crumpled almost at once. Even with the limited space, Anya executed a perfect spinning back kick to his jaw. The man's head snapped sideways. The last man raised his pistol, trying to point it at Anya. She backhanded the man hard enough to stagger him and plucked the pistol from his hand. Then she delivered a powerful backward blow to the temple. Anya scooped up a pistol one of the men had dropped. Anya gazed out into the water. The first man she'd thrown overboard had hold of the speedboat and was pulling himself up. Blood leaked from his nostrils.
No, you're staying in the water until I'm ready for you to come out.
You can't tell me what to do!
Anya wrapped him on the head with the gun butt, then grabbed a fistful of his hair and shoved him underwater. He fought to break her hold, but couldn't. His fingers slid off her arm. She held him under long enough for him to realize how helpless he was. Anya brought the man's head and shoulders out of the sea.
Any more bad behavior, and I won't pull you back up.
A quick glance back into the water showed that the other men she'd kicked into the sea still floated there with arms and legs outstretched. They weren't in any immediate danger of drowning. Anya turned to the controls with the intention of using the maritime radio to signal for help. One look at the torn wiring and the space where the radio had once been let her know that plan wasn't going to work. Anya sat on a rock and finished lacing up her hiking boots. While she'd waded in the shallows, she'd left them in the sun in hope that they'd dry out. They hadn't. She didn't like putting them on while they were still wet, but in case they had trouble with their four prisoners, she wanted protection for her feet from the bits of coral and sharp rocks. Anya peered across the clearing at the four men seated on the shore with their backs to the cliffs. Their hands and feet had been secured with ordnance tape Anya had found in their tool kit aboard the boat.
What you did back there was incredible. Skills like that generally aren't in the repertoire of an academic.
I'm not your average academic, Lochata.
Are you all right? During all the excitement, I forgot to ask.
I'm fine.
Weren't you scared?
At the time, not so much. I didn't really have time to think about it. But now...
You are afraid now?
No, not really. But when everything slows down and you think of what could have happened, sometimes it can seem scary all over again. The main thing is no one got hurt.
You want something to eat, Anya? Baked fish? I caught it myself.
Sure. Thanks, Jason.
What are you going to do with your prisoners?
Anya glanced over at the men. The leader's face was swollen, and blood had crusted on his chin. Two of his companions slept, turned just enough to balance against the rocks at their backs. The fourth man sat in morose silence.
We're going to turn them over to the Coast Guard.
Do you think they meant it?
Meant what?
That part about killing us all when they got released.
No. Mmm. Oh, this is good, Jason. Is that garlic?
Professor Rye found marjoram, thyme, and wild onions. That stuff grows wild here.
Yes.
I was wondering if she knew what she was doing. I thought maybe she was going to have us eating weeds, but she was right.
Botany is a major part of archaeology. If you're going to study in this field, you have to know plants, living and extinct.
She said her mother had an herb garden.
Well, that probably helped too.
I'm serious.
About what?
You know, those guys.
Those guys are going to have very full lives just dealing with all the charges against them. Since you're here, and I'm here for that matter, the United States Embassy is going to be involved. I think those guys are going to jail and not coming back for a very long time.
Would you have shot that guy if he kept coming out of the water?
Anya looked in the young man's eyes and tried to remember when she'd been that sheltered and innocent. Even growing up in the orphanage with all the nuns, she hadn't been totally protected. New Orleans, proud and predatory, had stood just outside the fence.
What would you have done?
I don't know. I hope I'd be strong enough to shoot him.
Not strong enough. Scared enough.
Scared enough?
Nature gave us a fight-or-flight response, hardwired it right into our brains. When we're threatened, when we're scared enough, we simply react. In violent situations, I've learned that it's better to react than to think about reacting.
You've learned? You've been involved in a lot of stuff like this?
Probably more than a lot of people.
You seem like you knew exactly what you were doing.
I trained in a gym to fight. That's not the same as what happened today.
Why?
In the gym, you know they're not going to kill you.